Edgar, we're recording. You ready?
Yes.
Any water or anything?
No, I'm chilling.
All right.
I'm going to eat after this. I went for a big hike this morning. 13,000 calories.
Wow. 13,000 calories.
1,300 calories.
Say, that's like, I think you would die.
Yeah, I think I would die.
Welcome to That's the Show.
Doga.
Save it for the pod, Edgar. Welcome to That's the Show, the podcast where we write a pilot one episode at a time. I'm Mike Benner, and this is my co-writer and co-host, Edgar Mupplesier.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I'd like to think that by now I'm in the Five Timers Club.
Mm-hmm. You're like an integral part of the show.
It's like Jim Carrey, how he was never a part of the cast of SNL. Yet when you think of him, at least for our white listeners, you think of SNL.
I think of In Living Color.
I said our white listeners.
I guess I am white, but I'm not a listener.
That's correct.
Hit mute on this bad boy. Thank you guys for listening. First up, some quick business. If you're not already, please take a moment to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or whatever. Why not tell a friend to do it? You got somebody in your life that is a writer, that's creative. They like to hear about the creative process. They want to hear me annoy Edgar with dumb bits. Tell them to subscribe.
Yeah.
Of course, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. That helps us out a lot. We don't know why. Follow us on Twitter at @that_the_show. We talked about a couple episodes ago the idea of getting a writer's assistant, and we actually had I think for something that we weren't really serious about, had a bunch of responses from people. So we're gonna take it a little more seriously now. If you want to be our writer's assistant, send us a resume or something funny, or I don't know, something that proves that you're not a fucking freak. Email it to us at thatsthishowpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we will be paying. Look, I think.
Yeah.
And we're kind of paying more than what a writer's assistant would make typically for that amount of time. But because we value this person, whoever they will be, and the productivity they'll be bringing to the pod.
Yeah, and hopefully like a weird, fun element for the listeners to hear.
Can I tell a fun That's the Show story?
Sure.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't.
You didn't run this by me first, so I'm for it. Do it.
So Anna and I had a very relationship-shattering conversation on Sunday where we just both were pretty candid about certain things. And Anna said, let me backtrack a little bit. I was a Sundance fellow for the Sundance New Voices Lab with Anna, my girlfriend Anna Salinas, who was also a writer. She's currently writing on Sugar and Toys on Fuse. And we wrote the product. Well, I guess, sure.
Yeah.
The project that we got into Sundance New Voices Lab was this project called Blue Love, in which it was about an interracial couple that were falling out of love with each other, told in like these like very like weird, I mean, it was like a straight up narrative, but then there would be like these weird moments where their anxiety and depression would like come to life in like weird bits. Like Anna's mom would like appear to her, and like sometimes for my character, like the computer would start talking to me and telling me how much of a loser I was. Very much so like her comics, and like it was like if her comics and Sad Boy Edgar had a baby. Mm-hmm. So
Anna, if you don't know, Bad Comics by Anna on Instagram, very funny little comics that she posts on a daily basis just about. And Sad Boy Edgar is a web series that Edgar made about his own sadness.
So what was interesting about that project is that Anna and I wrote it when we weren't a couple. Mm-hmm. And then we became a couple. And then right as we became a couple, we got the Sundance New Voices Lab. And something that people kept telling us about was just like, well, what's the fundamental like thing about this couple? Like, why can't they get along? Like, what's make, like, we were just like, because Anna and I both wrote it while we were breaking up with other people, we were just like, they're breaking up, and that's all we had. But we didn't really understand our relationship enough to like kind of have a take on it. Anyways, cut to Sunday, we're having this like argument, not even an argument, just a really sad discussion. And Anna, so we left Blue Love alone because like we could never really figure it out, and we started fighting and it wasn't good. But so Anna and I were having this discussion about like this issue in our relationship that has continued to pop up, in which one of us continually feels as if they're putting in 100% while the other person necessarily isn't. I'll let you guess who's who. So Anna essentially went on to say, like, you know, what really makes me depressed about our relationship is that for you, for me, in terms of you, you are someone who, like, it's a great deal. Like, I get someone who's extremely supportive, who goes to all my shows, who does all these things. And then for you, at least in how she sees it, she was just like, and you're he, and I'm the, I don't give some of those things to you, and you're only here because you're addicted to toxic relationships. And I was like, wow, that's really hurtful. But then I was just like, that's the show. And she's like, what? And I was like, oh, that's Blue Love. Like, that's like the premise of Blue Love that we should have pitched. And then she was just like, I'm crying right now, and you're thinking about a television show? And I said, yeah, excuse me. Where's your laptop?
And now you guys are broken up, but...
But we got a banging pilot, baby.
He's got a great pitch.
Showtime, Showtime's on board. But yeah, we definitely are no longer together. No, we are still together.
Good, I was about to say. Like, I feel like you would have told me first before...
Yeah, that's why I was just like, should I tell this story? I don't want anyone to take it any sort of way. But it was a very funny moment of being like, oh, that is like in that moment, I was like, oh, that's like a very clear premise. Because I think that that is something that happens with like a lot of relationship shows, especially the explosion that we've had of them, where it's just like, we're a bad couple. And it's like, no one wants to watch that. There has to be something that's fundamentally flawed in a way that's relatable, but then also interesting about these people. And I think that that was like a very good note that we got very early on Blue Love.
Interesting. That was your week.
Yeah, that was it. Besides realizing that I'm the coronavirus messiah.
Oh, that was another thing I want to talk about. You think that you have the coronavirus and that you can cure it?
That's correct.
Explain yourself.
I have been sick for at least 5 to 6 weeks now. And I'm positive it is the coronavirus.
You think you got it from your flight
to San Francisco?
Oh, to San Francisco.
That is correct.
Why?
I don't want to go into why.
I saw it all on your face.
So I'm positive that I have it, but I haven't died. I can work. I've been working out.
So you think that you're DNA is strong enough to defeat the coronavirus.
But I still have it. I'm a carrier.
Just need to extract your bone marrow.
Yes.
And inject it into everybody.
Yes.
Cool. I was in Vietnam for a while. I don't think I contracted the coronavirus, but we won't know for sure for a while.
Yeah, you can have symptoms. You can have no symptoms for up to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Undetected.
It doesn't seem like a very big deal over there.
In Vietnam
or Asia in general.
In Asia generally? Well, you know what? Here's what I'll say. My reaction was fucked up because I'm basing all of Asia on China. Mm-hmm. So I will walk back what I said and say, you're right. In all of Asia, no. In China and South Korea, yes.
You know, when there's an earthquake here or the fires are happening and people that you know from Texas or New York or wherever start texting you and being like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, and you're just like, I'm totally fine. Those fires are like a million miles away. And they're like, oh, the news makes it seem like Los Angeles is burning down. I think that's kind of what's happening here. Like the American media is making it seem like this is a bubonic plague type situation when really it's just kind of like an especially bad flu.
Italy's health minister was just like, all right, guys, here's what I have to say about the coronavirus scare. I have the coronavirus.
Seriously?
Yes. I just read that today on the drive over here.
Wow. Who is he kissing?
I don't know, but that is insane that Italy's health minister was just like, yo, this is the scoop. Like, I have it.
What if he was like doing it like a flex where he's like, this is how much I don't give a fuck about the coronavirus. I got that shit.
Yeah. Oh, wait, nope. Not Italy. I apologize. Oh. Iran.
Oh.
Or Iran.
Glad you're going to defeat coronavirus for us as a nation. You're going to save the Olympics. I saw that the Olympic Committee was talking about maybe postponing the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. Too much money on the line.
Yeah. But anyways, let's get on with our show, Edgar.
Cool.
What happened last time we talked? It feels like it's been forever. I know that we did our episode, and then we did a mini episode.
That's right.
Which was kind of hopefully some kind of discussion about what's appropriate and what is inappropriate in terms of reaching out to a stranger and asking for advice.
That's right.
And I immediately worried that we sounded like assholes in it.
I don't think so.
I hope we didn't. If you felt like we sounded like an asshole, feel free to write us. Let us know.
A lot of people assume that I'm an asshole, so I'm okay with it at this point.
I feel like you relish the villain.
I don't relish it. It's thrusted upon me. I wear a scarlet A.
A scarlet A?
Isn't that the letter that she's wearing in the scarlet letter?
Yeah, but for adultery, not for villainry. Oh. You should wear a scarlet V. I don't mean to punch up your joke. Well, I'm sorry.
You're doing it.
Apparently I am. But that's what this is all about, Edgar. That's the show.
Yeah, we're rewriting writing.
Edgar, give me a recap on what we talked about last.
I think it's unfair that the person with all the notes in front of them is asking the person with no notes in front of them to recap. I think last time we landed on an interesting dynamic between our two characters.
Would be one, Frankie Allen.
That's right.
And the other would be... Did we talk? What's her name? Guinevere?
Gwendolyn?
Gwendolyn.
Is it?
Gwendolyn. That's right. Yeah, I have it up in front of me now.
Great. We really care about these characters.
We do. Well, you know, Edgar, it's been a couple weeks since we both write so much other stuff. I'm jet lagged like a motherfucker right now.
I'm writing three pilots right now.
I'm writing two. You beat me. Fuck. Well, three including this one. Does this one count?
That was counted in mine, so we're tied.
Okay, we're tied. I'll start a fourth one tonight.
Okay.
So what was that dynamic that we were talking about?
I think what we realized is that Gwendolyn kind of needs Frankie because she... Oh, no. It's all coming back to me now. It's all coming back to me now. We figured out the school. Remember?
Yeah.
We figured out what kind of school it was, and then we kind of had a discussion about whether this was like... You had jurisdicted me, where I was just like, I don't know about it being like a preppy school or whatnot. I think the big question that we walked away from was how Frankie's basketball aspirations fits into this being a kind of like black excellence type school. So we paused for a brief moment because Bender and I were unsure about where we left off. But I am again right in that we did change the setting of the school. I think originally the school was a little bit more of like a St. Francis type school. And then we went more in the direction of the success school, or kind of like that school from The Weekly, where like it's a very, very, very good school that like transforms people's lives. I think where we got lost a little bit is that it's a really good school. Why would Francis not just want to go there? And I think we also lost the Christian element of the school too.
Yeah, I think we did. You know, before we keep going, I just want to say, I think something that makes us work well together is that you value being right greatly.
Thank you.
I don't really give a shit about being right.
Yeah.
And I think that makes us good, a good working partnership.
I think you saying that you don't care about being right is a version of being right.
I am right because I'm working with you and you're right. So you guided us in the right direction. So I benefit from you being right, which in turn makes me kind of right. But I don't really care about being right.
What a Christopher Nolan pretzel that was.
Yummy. I love pretzels.
So I think what we said we were going to do last time is really nail down this school. So how about we just decide right now, let's talk about the school.
Okay, let's talk about the school.
Because I think I don't want to change Francis that much. I really like where he's at as a character. And I think if we can go over his character a little bit real quickly, can you read to me some like of his flaws?
Sure. So what we have for his weaknesses, second guesses himself,
Great.
Questions his own decisions, even if they are clearly correct.
Okay.
Needs affection, needs to be liked, wants to be everyone's favorite. Uses the affection of others to push down his depression. Affection is a drug for him. Listens to others more than he listens to himself.
That's Francis?
That's what we have as Francis here.
Wow.
That's
dark.
Movie references we have. He Got Game, Brick, The Long Goodbye. He's kind of a different kind of PI because I feel like, you know, in Brick and in The Long Goodbye, like the main characters kind of have a quiet confidence to
yes.
them. Whereas I feel like his need and desire to solve this crime is going to be coming from a like quiet desperation.
Yeah, because yeah. he actually exudes a pretty loud confidence that we know mm-hmm. isn't based on anything. Great. Okay. This is kind of making more sense to me. And I guess I need the school to not be a school that values basketball. Because if it's a school that values basketball, then his flaws aren't being tested. What do you think about that?
Well, tell me what you mean by that.
So he needs to be liked. He needs to be popular. Mm-hmm. He needs to be. So if I could be, and look, guys, I listened to myself on this podcast a little bit and immediately hated myself and hated how I sounded. So I apologize. I know I'm pretentious. I know I think I'm super smart, and I deeply apologize for that. I am a dick. In improv.
You can actually speak with great knowledge on this. So don't. You're not being pretentious. You're speaking from experience. You are a UCB house team member. You're accomplished in the improv space. So don't feel like a dick for talking about this, but go on. And then I reserve all right to take everything I just said back.
In the art of improv.
Okay, take it back.
I think something that happens a lot. The way you generate ideas in improv, and I'm so sorry for how long-winded this is you like have an opening of some sort, right? And you generate premises, ideas. And sometimes when I'm coaching younger improvisers, what I see them do is they take the premise and they put it in a place that makes sense. So let's say it's a guy who, like, let's say that the game or the unusual thing is a guy who likes putting his penis in soup to check the temperature. It's a very weird thing to do.
And that's unusual.
Very.
Okay.
And sometimes what I'll see a young improviser do, and this is an extreme example, so this might not work, but they'll put that guy having a meal at a sex like retreat or like a kinky place, because they're just like, well, that's where that guy would be. And I'm like, I agree with you, that's where he would be, but is his behavior that unusual in that space? Not necessarily. It's still unusual, but it could be far more unusual in a spot that really...
At like the hot bar at the Whole Foods.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that like that seems like very commonplace, but like the amount of times I've watched younger improvisers make that mistake, the amount of times that I've made that mistake blows my mind of being like, oh, it's a guy who like talks like this or acts like this way or does this thing. And I'm going to put him in a place where they can do that a lot because it makes sense that they would do that there. And I think that that is the temptation of putting Frankie in a school that values basketball, because it's like, yeah, he's a very popular guy. He's a very winning guy. He would be at a school like that. But then his character flaw doesn't really get like, you know, tested in that space. I think where he gets tested in that space is if throughout his life, basketball has been valued and it's what's given him his value. And all of a sudden he finds himself in a place where no one cares.
So then let me ask you this.
Please.
Does he have to be a bad basketball player?
No.
Or not an actual, like, decent recruit?
No, because I think that's why I think I'm still attached to the parents of it all. Mm-hmm. I'm still attached to the idea of the parents picking this school for him. One, it just rings very true for me.
Did you say, oof, sorry, because you've heard people in your writer's room say of it all?
Of it all. It's a bad habit of mine. I'll own it.
Got it.
I say it a lot.
I mean, I've said it as well, but it is definitely something that when I hear other writers say it, I'm just like, ugh.
Because it's skipping steps.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But so, I saw it in my outline today, and I was like, what the fuck? Why did I write that? But I think, like, that's what I think the parents, and it's just such an interesting thing of, like, being a kid of, like, and maybe he's not an amazing, like, LeBron James level basketball player at the age of 14. Maybe he's just really good. We can pare that down a little bit. I think that, like, if he's like LeBron James level good, I think other people around the parents would explain to them that they're making a terrible mistake.
That's exactly my thing, is like, if he's going to be this surefire NBA prospect, then there's no way that he would be at a school that doesn't care about basketball.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Nobody would let that happen.
I agree 100%.
But if he's like, who's that rookie? Kendrick Nunn? It's kind of a guy that came out of nowhere, not a heavily recruited.
Yeah, I think he's just good. I think he's good at basketball. Like, I think he's just really good at basketball. He doesn't have to be like the next LeBron James or whatever. I think that's why I want him to kind of be a fish out of water in this school. Like, if we set up that he is someone who's like, you can be well respected for your basketball skills and not be LeBron James.
Yeah, of course you can.
So I think that's what...
So then what is a school then? Is it like kind of like a magnet school? Is it like a...
Or like a charter school.
It's a charter school. Maybe
it has a basketball program.
Yeah. I mean, but like, yeah, even the like high school, the sciences...
They have basketball programs. Teams. But like, I don't think basketball is that school's number one focus. And I think that's what upsets Francis. So maybe it's that Francis has an opportunity to grow as a basketball player. And it's being taken away from him by going to this school.
So he has the choice. He's like, I can go to...
No, he doesn't have the choice.
Well, okay, not that he doesn't have the choice, but he has like an offer from like a prep school or whatever.
Yeah.
And like his parents are like, no, like you're going to go to the... the charter school for economics or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's like a success. Like, it's just like, it's called, maybe to make fun of the school that I went to. Did I tell you about the school idea? Individuals dedicated to excellence and achievement.
I think you've mentioned it.
Maybe it's called like Winners or something like that. And Winners means something.
Yeah. I'm not going to pitch on this.
Not right now. I mean, yeah, that's wild.
But yeah, I like Winners Academy.
Yes.
And that's, I also like the irony of that, because Winners is a sports concept.
Yes.
They don't care about sports.
They don't care about sports.
Yeah. Maybe his mom is like the principal or something. No, because then why would she want to cancel the school, the basketball team?
Yeah. I like the Nathan Fielder character.
Okay.
I like him a lot. Yeah, Principal Fielder. I think we're also kiddying on the boarding school aspect of it as well, which I'm okay with.
We're also what?
Kiddying? It's something from the Dear White People room. It's, you know, like a kitten scurries away after it poops.
Yeah.
So when you kiddy on a pitch, it's because you shit the bed on the pitch and then now you're running away.
That is a very specific... We should do an episode where we talk about
all the
glossary of terms that we've learned in various writers' rooms.
The amount of times I have heard someone in the Dear White People room, but what is his five? Because what is his five? Because if we don't get down his five, we're not going to have a satisfying six.
And what's five?
It's from Dan Harmon's story circle.
Oh, okay.
They're saying, what's the get what he wants moment? But at some point, we just start throwing numbers around. And then it gets super like frustrating.
I want to know about the what is 69 is.
So I just think that you know, they're putting him in a school where it gives him that sort of drive, which is like, okay, fine, I'm at this school, I'm gonna make the best out of the basketball team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He's just like, I still have AAU, I can do that. I just have to work on my game while I'm here at this school. Right? Does that give him a little bit of a drive?
Yeah, I think I like that. Now my thought is going to go to, and I think you and I have agreed that we want to kind of figure out what the plot is within this world a little bit more before we start kind of getting too far down the road with all these characters. What is the crime that he's trying to solve?
Great. So let's talk about this school. I think that we're finding, the more we dig into these people, the more we're finding these things, these plot things. I think that this school does one thing very, very well. And I'm kind of pulling from Idea Academy. What made Idea Academy very, very special is that it would go into these poor neighborhoods, right? Like Donna, Texas, or Far, or Edinburgh, which were these, like, you know, low-income areas in the Rio Grande Valley. And it would say, people from this area don't go to four-year colleges. They just don't. That doesn't happen. Because of that, we're going to go in and we're going to produce a bunch of first-generation college kids. And you cannot graduate from this school unless you get accepted into four-year institutions. We're going to put a bunch of rules on these kids. We're going to put a bunch of expectations on these kids that is going to produce these superstars. My classmates who ended up graduating, because I didn't graduate from that school, went to places like MIT, Columbia, Harvard, and stuff like that. And we're talking about first-generation graduates. From, like, you know, some of them from well-to-do families, but some of them from some very, like, tough places. And it was a phenomenal school for that. That being said, I think schools like that can kind of erase who you are a little bit or restrict who you are in a way that has to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whatever this crime is, it's an explosion from restriction.
Got it. So now, I like that. I love the idea of it being some kind of explosive act of rebellion based on restrictions put upon these kids who need the space to, you know, fuck up and make mistakes and everything.
Yeah.
I guess my next question is, how does the crime relate to the basketball team?
Great. I have an answer. Okay. So I think I just got on this. So because it's a charter school, it doesn't really get government funding. It relies a lot on outside funding. Sometimes it gets government funding, which is an argument that John Oliver has a lot to say about, which I agree with him. But one of the things that my school would do is have these galas where they would put on a show of how excellent these students were, and that would kind of raise money. You need the school to be doing very, very well in testing. And that's why testing is so important. So it's a way that you can, like, statistically show how well the students are doing. You also put on the gala, like, with the school. You want to show, like, I felt like our principal was more of a tour guide than he was a principal. He was constantly showing off our school to people. We'd have athletes come, specifically from the Dallas Cowboys. Like, I've met most of the famous Dallas Cowboys from, like, years past, because they've all come to my school and spoken.
Troy Aikman?
Yes.
It's the only one. Emmitt Smith?
Yes.
Those are the only two.
I've met both of them. Because they always came and talked and then would throw a football at a kid. That being said, because the school is always being presented, that means the school always had to be presentable. And I think we talked about this in the first or second episode. But I remember that people started tagging the school, and our principal, like, lost his shit because you want to present that the school is working. So he, like, took away our bathroom door because someone kept tagging the bathroom.
Yeah.
He took away all the doors. But what if someone's actively ruining the school in a way that is affecting, like, if we set up this fundraiser, kind of, you know, every mystery has a good ticking clock. We have this fundraiser that's coming, and someone's actively tagging the school or, you know, I guess it has to, like, because I don't want it to be like dicks, like American Vandal.
What if it's like, okay.
But something that threatens the fundraiser is, I guess, what I'm asking.
Well, what if the pilot opens up? This is just me loose pitching, so, but pilot opens up, it is like the night of the basketball team fundraiser gala. Like you mentioned, like, charter schools only get so many public funds and have to raise a lot of money on the side. So, like, maybe the school had to make a tough decision and was like, we can't give any money of our government funding to the basketball team. Like, you, like, the basketball team needs to raise all the money on its own this year. Francis Allen, he's there. He's really, you know, obviously needs this to go well. He needs this big, this gala to go well. Something, maybe another one of the players on the team does something fucked up at the gala.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, like, horrifies all the people in attendance. They don't raise any money. Everyone goes, the principal's like, well, we're canceling basketball. Then that other player is like, I didn't mean to do that. Like, someone drugged me, or someone did this or whatever, or it wasn't me. It was like, they just made it look like it was me, or what? I don't know what it is.
I got you.
Okay.
I got you. I'm with that. I love all of that. What if we make it, instead of a what that they're trying to find, a who, kind of on for your pitch. Mm-hmm. At my college, there was this thing called Madison Johnson, which, have I told you this story before?
There was a thing called Madison Johnson?
So, you know, this was back in the days of, like, Fache Book. And my school has a very strict drinking policy. It's called the dry lifestyle policy versus a dry campus policy, where if you went to a dry campus school, you could drink, just not on campus. Dry lifestyle meant you could not drink as long as you were a student of the school. But people threw parties, because, again, like I said, with repression, there's always explosions.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was everyone added this faceless account called Madison Johnson. And then people started getting suspended for things on their Facebook accounts. And what they realized was that Madison Johnson was someone or something just stealing information on everybody.
So Madison Johnson was a narc that was collecting pictures of people drinking.
Absolutely.
Or text things and reporting it to the dean.
Yeah. So what if we have this, I want to say that it's a gala for the entire school. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is my loose pitch, kind of marrying your pitch into it. The kids have a great basketball game. And Frankie is just like, what if I can make this school work? Like, he's unhappy about the school, but he feels like he can make it work. And I don't know how we're going to get all of this ended up in the cold open, but he feels good. Like, he's just like, oh crap, I can do well here still. So they end up all going to this party, and Frankie doesn't drink at this party. Gwendolyn doesn't drink at this party, but a lot of kids do drink at this party. Well, let's say that these kids are just straight up guilty, so that's not like a thing. At the gala that they have, this fundraising gala, on the projector, all of a sudden, it's an explosion of video, photo, whatever, of all of these kids from this school partying.
Okay.
So now what you have is
Principal Fielder's up there is like, and of course we have our Be Excellent lifestyle requirement, mm-hmm. where all of our students, like, are required to take an oath where they don't drink or do drugs and blah, 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 blah. And, like, our behind kids them are, on the slideshow, yes, is like people drinking and doing drugs.
Our kids are excellent on campus and off. They are model, like, something like, yeah. And then we're just seeing all of that. What do you think about that?
I like that as a device. I'm just like, well, how does that directly lead to the basketball team being
suspended?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you catch all these kids, if you had a photos of all your students partying, you wouldn't suspend them?
I would suspend all the students, but I don't know if I would cancel the basketball team.
I mean, I think he suspends all the starters on the basketball team.
Okay, so then,
and I think he blames them. Not only does he suspend them for partying, I think he says that they did it, that they put those photos up there.
Okay, I guess then my question is, why? What is the crime to solve then?
Who put those photos up?
But just because if
Even if he solves it, it doesn't mean that they get unsuspended.
Yeah, if Frankie finds out who posted the photos, who finds out who the Madison, what is it, Madison Johnson?
Yeah.
Was, like, they're not, that doesn't mean that the principal was like, oh, someone snitched on you. Then it's fine. We can have basketball.
That's
back.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, there might be a way to do it. Like, what if, this might be crazy. They're at the party. Nobody's drinking. It's like a really tame party. It's like
I like this.
There's like cans of sodas or whatever, but then the videos, like the videos are deep faked, and it looks like they're drinking cans.
I mean, that's so real. Like the deep fake thing of it all is so real. Like that's like definitely where we're at.
It is real, but like, could a 15-year-old high school student pull it off?
Yes, these kids are talented.
So then, okay, so then the thing becomes, I have to prove to the principal that we weren't drinking, which is like a kind of impossible burden of proof.
Yes. Because there's video showing that they're drinking.
So then the solution becomes they have to find out who Madison Johnson is.
Yes.
And they have to be able to hack into their computer and find the original source videos.
Yes.
That prove, suddenly it becomes like a high-tech thing. It becomes a case of like A, finding out who snitched.
Yes.
B, trying to get close to them.
Yes.
C, trying to get into their files. And D, trying to convince the principal that it matters at all.
Yeah.
Do you think that's enough story?
I do. I would just wonder, why did that student do it? Question for another time, perhaps?
No, I think that's a good question to ask now. Why did the student do it? Well, let's start. Okay, so maybe we kind of delve down.
Let's work backwards.
Who is the student? Who is the Madison Johnson?
So let's talk about Gwendolyn.
Okay.
We said that Gwendolyn, and I'm kidding on it being a Bible Bowl thing, but I am very interested in it being ACADEC. Do you remember ACADEC? Did you guys have that at your school? Academic Decathlon?
I'm aware of what it is, but no, we didn't do that in my school, I don't think.
It was very big at IDEA.
If they did it at our school, like they kept the dumb kids away from it like me.
So like
actually like, yeah, there was I'm sure there was some kind of academic decathlon team, but I was probably so far removed from it that I had no idea it existed, now that I'm thinking about it. But go on.
Every time I think of something, I run into a problem of like, well, basketball isn't as important at the school, so then why would they do it?
Bro, just pitch. We'll figure it out.
I was thinking, what if the academic we have Gwendolyn costing them the thing, and now Gwendolyn is massively unpopular because she cost them a championship. Maybe this school has won the last 10 years. Gwendolyn screws that up. What if it was someone exacting revenge on the basketball team? That's where I would get lost.
I mean, the obvious thing to go to is that like the team are jocks and there's a nerd that they pick on. I don't know if I want to go that direction, just because I feel like
it's easy.
It's easy, and it's also like becoming, I think, like less and less true as like time goes on.
What if they were partying, just not that party?
Go on.
What if Gwendolyn went to this decathlon and was under the weather and sick, but she was hungover because there's a group. Basically, I'm saying like there's another mystery. There's like another group of kids that some of the basketball athletes are at. Frankie's not privy to any of this information because he's new to the school and all this stuff. But Gwendolyn was partying. Well, why wouldn't Gwendolyn just come out and just say that straight up?
Maybe she's got something riding.
Or she doesn't know that those two things have anything to do with each other.
So she was partying.
Which is why she...
She's hungover and fucks up the decathlon. So why... I'm sorry. So then how does the revenge on the basketball team play into this?
Yeah. See? Again, I told you. I'm just painting myself in the corner.
Does the basketball team get her drunk? And so then the captain of the decathlon...
I was thinking is that it was someone on the basketball team who threw that party.
Mm-hmm.
And Gwendolyn was like dating that person at some point or something like that.
Yeah. I like that. So then... But then, okay. So they're... So then you're saying that there's a party where they did drink, but then there's another party where they didn't.
And then that's the party that's that they're the getting party blamed that gets
for. Deepfaked.
Yeah.
So then, wouldn't you want Frankie to be involved in the drinking then, kind of? Because like then it's kind of like,
I know when these guys fuck around, and this is not that.
Yeah, he's like, he's also like got some skin in the game there, like too, where it's like he doesn't like, he's like, we weren't drinking like at that party, and then like the principal's like, so you don't drink? And he's like, at that party, we weren't drinking.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
So there's like something like he's trying to prove something while trying to hide the same thing, basically.
Yes. I like that area. I wonder how we can dig into that area a little bit more. Like they're trying to prove something while trying to hide something else is, I think, very, very interesting for like a film noir thing.
Someone need to die.
No.
I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about Brick and Knives Out and other whodunits and just being like, they all involve dead people.
And it does make the crime so much easier.
Yeah.
Is if it's a death.
I don't know. I don't think they do, but it's obviously going to be.
Yeah, I'm kidding on this partying video.
You're kidding on it?
Yeah, I'm kidding on it. I do think it's something at the gala that, because I agree with you, it has to be a death. And what if it's a death of the principal's dreams? He has this big gala. Mm-hmm. He's planned it all out. And something happens at it that has to be a student's fault. He doesn't know what student it is, so he punishes all the students.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's justified if we like set up how important this gala is to the principal that he goes, no basketball season, no this, no that, no student committee, none of this until we find out who it is.
What if Frankie has something to do with it? Not that he did it directly, but something he gave to someone or something he enabled to happen is what led to this big embarrassment.
I like that.
So then people kind of look to him to be like, he canceled academic decathlon. You better fucking like clean up your mess. Or I don't know what it would be.
I like that if it was, I like that even, and I want to pitch on a pitch. I like if it's both Frankie and Gwendolyn are somehow tied and that's why they're working together. It's because everyone feels like it's kind of their fault. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Who do we imagine Gwendolyn is at this point? She's in the academic decathlon. I think we've kind of talked about her as like a bit of an outsider, at least not like in popular circles.
I think she was cool until she lost that academic decathlon. So she's looking for like a rebound. And then this, whatever they're both getting blamed for, doesn't help. Where it's just like, well, fuck, they already hated me and now they think I'm responsible for this. So she's trying to clear her name.
What if what if she fucks up the academic decathlon? It's not because she's hungover or anything. It's just she has a moment of nerves or whatever. She kind of become like a pariah. Maybe she and like and Frankie were like lab partners or something, or like they were like, you know, not like best friends, but like tight in some way. And like now, like even like he's kind of like her last like ally left, even if like, you know, they're not best friends, but like he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't give a shit about academic decathlon. So he just is like so cool to her. And she like asks him to get her weed or something to deal with like the depression or the anxiety she's been having.
Okay.
This pitch is falling apart. I was going to say then like she's like the student chosen to give like a speech by the dean at school for like this gala. She's like, you know, maybe she is like the valedictorian, even if she fucked up the academic decathlon, and she gets way too high and freaks out. And then Then there's no real crime. It's just her got high.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm kidding.
This crime part is hard.
It's the hardest part because it's like, it's got to be somewhat believable or entirely absurd. I feel like maybe the deep fake thing is the right level of absurd.
Yeah. What if, why don't we just go for it? What if it's a deep fake? No, because then we're just too close to Vandal.
What if it's just a deep, wait, what? Well, what were you going to say? What's close to Vandal?
Oh, the principal doing something awful.
Is there a deep fake of the principal doing something awful in American Magic?
No, but it's a prank. And he's trying to find, and they're trying to find out who did the prank. And then there's the perfect student who did it, but everyone is not convinced. But I think what removes it is, like, I think we should remove the idea of everyone's blaming one person and just put the pressure on the principals just going on a rampage.
Mm-hmm. I think we also need to get rid of the notion of it's too much like American Vandal, because this is a high school set show about a mystery. So it's going to, like, it's either going to get compared to it or not.
And that's true.
We have to let people figure it out for themselves. So I say, I mean, yeah, doing like a deep fake video of like the principal like blowing a furry or something would be funny.
I think that's very funny. And I think the principal, like,
it could also be very funny if it's like not a particularly well done deep fake and the principal is just like, it's not me. It's not me. Like, everyone's like, we know it's not you. Like, we're laughing.
But he's just so embarrassed that this meeting went down that way that he just takes everything away from these kids. Like, everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's think about it in terms of like something that has embarrassed.
I'm not satisfied with the deep fake video. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not satisfied with it either. But I think it's like the right, I think it might be a step in the right direction, maybe.
All I like is that the gala. That's all I like right now is the gala. I think the gala makes so much sense.
I agree. The gala. Okay. I was at the Clippers game when they introduced Chuck the Condor.
Mm-hmm.
This was a few years ago. If you don't know, Chuck the Condor is the Clippers mascot.
He's terrifying.
A grotesque looking pink dick shaped bird.
Very terrifying.
It's very terrifying.
The only more terrifying mascot is the Pelicans.
The Pelicans used to be even more horrifying. Do you remember that?
Yeah. They've dumbed it down. Yeah. But it used to be fucking terrifying.
Yeah. But so that night Steve Ballmer, the Clippers owner, comes out and he's on the microphone and he's like, he introduces Chuck the Condor. And people boo. Like, people were booing Chuck the Condor in the arena. And then Steve Ballmer announced that if he had been training and he was going to do a slam dunk off a trampoline, and if he completed the slam dunk, then everyone in the arena was going to get red Chuck Taylors, which I guess is a tie-in for Chuck the Condor. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, in his dad jeans and button-down shirt, ran down the court and jumped off the trampoline and just barely made the dunk.
Steve Ballmer?
Yeah. Steve Ballmer, like the 60-year-old chubby bald owner, former Microsoft executive. And the reason why I bring this up is because the whole thing was like I'm thinking about it now, it just feels like Principal Fielder. It just feels like this kind of embarrassing, kind of like,
but loves the attention.
Wants the attention so bad.
I love that.
And like, it was kind of all horrifying to watch, but like, we got free shoes in the end, so I guess it was fine. And like, so like, I was like, what if there's something about like Principal Fielder or Dean Fielder, whatever we call him, is putting on this big thing. Like, it's like, this gala is like his time to shine. He's gonna jump off the trampoline and do a dunk.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it is. And like, whoever the student is kind of sabotages him, makes it so that like, you know, his pants fall down or the trampoline doesn't work, or what? I don't know.
I know what it is. I agree with you, and I think that we're finding the. I think we're finding the location very, very. We're finding the context very well. We're just not finding the unusual thing. Sorry, I think like, why does it have to be one bomb?
What do you mean?
Why couldn't it be several bombs?
Okay.
Like, why can't it be a bunch of things go wrong? Like, the gala is, like, I agree with you that the gala is just attacked. Mm-hmm. Like, someone releases frogs into it. And, like...
What's the movie where, like... Isn't there a movie where, like, everyone did it? Is it Murder on the Orient Express?
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, what if it, like what you're saying, it's like that. It's like not just like, it seems like it's one crime, but it's actually like five different people.
And they have to figure out what all five, like, because then I think that's a very great way for the pilot to end, is like them coming to the conclusion of just like, what if one person didn't do all five of these pranks? What if five different people did five pranks at the same time? That seems pretty fun to me.
I think that's fun too. I need to rewatch. I watched
the remake,
which is one of the most terrible movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe we got to watch the classic.
Yeah, we should definitely watch the classic. But yeah, I like that. I like that idea of it's kind of like someone, you know, releasing frogs or whatever, and like they, you know, Gwendolyn happens to know that, you know, David Thompson has, you know,
yeah,
gross frogs in his backyard.
And then someone does a deep fake video, yeah, and then Gwendolyn goes, but Dave Thompson doesn't know shit about how to use a computer.
Yeah. Or they go to Dave and are like, Dave, like,
yeah,
okay, look, the frog, like, you just, the frogs, like, that's got your fingerprints all over it. Like, so why don't you just go and confess to, like, all the stuff you did. And then he's like, I didn't do all of it. Like, okay, yeah, the frogs are me, but like, I don't know how to do deep fakes. Like, I don't.
Okay, but if he admits to the frogs, then we already solved. Oh, well, you're saying at some point. You're not saying in the pilot.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, pilot or not. I mean,
because if they find out that it's Dave at the end of the pilot, then they just have to find out the four more.
But
I think the realization at the pilot that they have to have is that it was five different people doing five different pranks. Because then it gives them something to go solve.
Yeah.
Right? If they figure out one...
I was thinking just like finding Dave was the thing that let them know that there is five other culprits.
That's true.
And that's how
or four of the culprits, yeah. Four, that's a good point.
But I think it'd be either way. Like, there could just
no,
be,
I think you're right.
Maybe, well, maybe... I guess it's a kind of a really weak... it's chump bait. Do you guys use that word in your room?
We use shoe leather, but they mean the same thing.
Yeah, chump aid, shoe leather is essentially like it's something you're setting up stakes for something that like anybody who's smart knows that like it doesn't really mean anything.
It's just moving the story forward.
Yeah. So yeah, it would be chump aid to like kind of find one of the culprits at the end, only to like be like, there's more culprits because we're writing a pilot here. It's obviously if it's going to be a whodunit, it's not going to be wrapped up by episode one. I don't know. I think it's something to think about.
That's why I think it's interesting to see them hit their head against the wall trying to think of who that one person is for the entire pilot. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, the story is going to, in the pilot, is going to be them coming together and deciding to work together. And we have to kind of think about that. But I like the idea of them realizing, like, oh, it's not one person. It's five different people who had a beef with the principal and pulled pranks all at the same time.
Yeah. And it could be like, they could be reviewing security footage. They could have somehow gotten security footage from the gym or whatever. And like they're watching it and realizing that, okay, well, like the frogs come in here.
Yes.
But then almost simultaneously, like that's when the deepfake video starts. How could someone release frogs from the door and then get to the AV booth in time?
Yes.
Like it's impossible. And like they could kind of piece that together. And then they're like, we're not looking at one culprit. We're looking at
five.
Many culprits.
And then the question, I guess, is did they work? Are they working together? Are they not working together? Like, stuff like that. Because then I think we can do your Dave Thompson thing. But later on, And then him being like, who are your four other people? Like, that's like the Dave Thompson reveal. It was like, who are your four other people? And he's just like, I didn't work with anybody. I just wanted to release frogs. And then they're just like, holy shit. Did these five people did not work together? Because it makes sense that they would all do it at the gala. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now you have five people freaking out, all guilty, and being like... And then it kind of guesses what we were talking about earlier of like Dave Thompson being like, okay, I'm guilty of this, but I'm not guilty of that. So now they're both working back. He's working backwards, trying to cover his tracks while also trying to figure out who the other four. Like, now the criminals themselves are also looking.
Yeah.
So, okay, we got some things to answer for next week. Here are my questions. Oh, no, you
go. No, you go on.
What does Principal Fielder care about so much that would really, that, like, how can we make sure that these pranks would decimate him to the point that he takes away all of the extracurricular activities? Because I think that's what we need to get him to.
Yeah.
Two, what are some five very, very funny, funny original pranks? I like frogs. I really do like frogs. It's just so funny.
I read a friend's pilot recently, and there was a lot of gross frog. They're doing it for Cartoon Network, and I'm excited to see it because there's just like a lot of weird, gross frog shit in it, and I was found myself laughing at it much more than I thought.
Frogs are fucking funny.
Frogs are funny.
And then I think number three is like really getting down why Francis, why Gwendolyn.
Well, here's my question for you. Seeing as how they are going to be working together just to create the most possible tension and drama, should they have a history together? Should there be something that links them in the past?
You know what? My heart is telling me that I should answer that next episode.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.